All right, so now I've been in contact with him. He's going to be showing up pretty soon here. So, very good. Who's next? Reese.
This is Kana.
Hello.
Well,
we went to school together for like a year. Nice. Very good. Way to hang in there, Kana. Good job. All right. Who we got next out here? All right. And we got these two that we met last night. Now, Marcella and Elena, right? Beautiful. And was last night you guys' first time showing up at church? Okay. This girl, Elena's got some guts, man. So I knew it took me a while, even when I came here as a 19-year-old, before I raised my hand in Bible study and had enough guts to ask a question. This girl, her first time here last night, in the midst of, you know, Pastor Bob, how silly he can be, how serious he can be sometimes. This girl, only, what are you, 12, 13? 12. Look at this, 12-year-old girl just raises her hand, boldly reads the Bible verse, asks a question. So this girl's coming loaded. What'd you say?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Elena, Marcella, good to have you guys. Hope you'll be seeing a lot more of you. I miss anybody? Okay, I think we got everybody so far. Who's that kid? Oh, Logan. Logan's here, right? Logan, good to see you again. He's got support in the man bun tonight. Like it? Very good. What? All right. All right, guys. Stand on your feet. We're going to sing a little bit just to embarrass ourselves more and get the ice broken.
It's not embarrassing.
Did you say get the eyes broken?
Ice broken. Okay. And the eyes vocal.
The eyes vocal. Yeah.
I mumble a little bit. Spilker! What's up, bro? There's plenty of food over there, man.
That's a good start.
Start off?
Break the ice.
Break the ice. All right.
I'm not
Let's do that second. Let's do beautiful. Good idea. All right, guys. Hey, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song, and then we'll get rolling here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us out here safely. I know it's been crazy out there on the road leading up to this moment, and I pray that those that still might be on their way, that they would get here safe. And Lord, tonight we just pray that you would just bless this time that we could have together, just this time of growth, Lord, of changing seasons. And where our older kids get to move on and take part of the ministry and make it their own. And the younger kids that are stepping up to new levels of responsibility, I pray that you would just help them to just purpose in their hearts tonight what they would have, what you would have them to do next year for you, Lord. And I pray that tonight can just be a great time of fellowship and friendship. Just pray and ask these things in your son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, 264. Let's sing In the Garden. In the Garden, 264. All right. Love you guys. Know this by heart, so keep turning there if you're not there, but we're going to get rolling. Here we go, 264.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
All right, this one came on request by Selma over here. 272, my anchor holds. 272, my anchor holds. 271. 271. All right, here we go.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I'm an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest and oh gale on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds.
Mighty tide. So we're going to have our first senior come up. I tell you what, man, in a world where, you know, conformity is the key, you know, like they say, it's not what you know, but who you know, and it's all about networking and fitting in and stuff like that. This kid has always, and I mean always times 50, been comfortable in her own skin. So I got to give it to her for that, man. This girl's got courage like no other. You know, just always fun to talk to and see what's on her mind. I'm really going to miss you, Sierra. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to what the Lord's going to do with you in the next chapter in your life. So you come on up here, give us what God's giving you, and then we'll sing another song and hear from somebody else.
Good evening, guys. Good evening. So for tonight, I've thought a lot about where the point where the youth group is at right now. I realized that we are at the transitioning point where we either choose the world or we choose to go against the tides of sin and begin our eternal investment with the Lord. I don't know who you guys truly are outside of church. Only God does. Some of you may stay and dig your deep well in the Word of God, while others are here because of their parents, waiting until they get that car, that new job, or anything to get away from this place. And that's okay. We have all felt like that at one point. I know for a fact that I have. I thought originally that everyone was crazy, and soon enough I became just as crazy as them. I saw this transition because each time I meet a new adult, they usually say, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I want to turn my life around for God. Well, that only happened because of the decision that they made, the current one that we are facing right now. But realize that right now, in this moment, that this is it, guys. This time, while you are under your parents' roof, it's going to be one or the other. The most I can do to win your favor is encourage you to listen and remind you that church is not about being strict. It's only a different lifestyle, and I know it's not for everyone. But while making this final decision on your path, I hope you take my lesson into account. Alex, do you mind opening us up in a word of prayer?
Do it. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we get to have tonight. Thank you for Sierra. Thank you for the seniors. Lord, we just ask that you just give these kids listening ears and just open up their hearts and minds. If there's anything that might be distracting us, Lord, we just want to get that off of our minds and just help so we can just completely be focused for this time. Thank you for just bringing us here safely and just thank you for all these kids that you've given us and just help us just enjoy one another's company. And it's in your name we pray. Name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. As teachers and fellow students of the Word of God, we know that we can't change someone unless if they want to, and change is everywhere you go. The world practically revolves around it. For a few examples, whenever we fall into dirt, we need to change. Whenever we make a mistake, we say, here's what I need to change. Even the oil in our car needs to be changed around every 3,000 miles. There is actually a law called the law of entropy that states how everything in the world will naturally go down and degrade. Change happens so things can be renewed, so things can be better. Even in the Bible, there's a lot of change. One huge example is the creation of the New Testament. We learned in the book of Hebrews that the New Testament was created because it was better. Not saying that the Old Testament was bad, but it changed so it could be better, and the same applies to us. When we got saved, we got changed. We were diseased, but we got better. However, over here in Romans 12:3, we learned that we were given just enough faith to believe and that it's only a measure. We all know that we have to labor for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And what we're doing right now is good. We go to church, we read here and there, pray for our meals, but what can we do to be better? In AJ's lesson, he talks about in Matthew 26:39 how Jesus went a little further when he was tired. Can we do the same? How long are we going to be comfortable with God? We already know that we are in overtime, so what's stopping us? There needs to be a change. But I know what you're wondering. Why do we need to change? We already turned our lives around. I'm cruising through life. Life is good. So what's wrong with that? Well, are you always on a good base with God? Is your answer ready for when someone confronts you about Christ? Or do you become blank-minded and dodge the open door that we so often pray for? Serving God to an extent is possible and very easy. You suffer for a bit of time, and you're all good to go, but it's not enough. We need to be renewed and changed. We all know in Proverbs 29 that we need to continually renew our mind in the Word of God. We don't take this verse as seriously as we ought to. This process is equivalent to hanging out with your best friend. The more you hang out with them, the more you become them. And the same happens whenever you fill that void with people and things that are not God. This position is the controller of our lives, our influence, and thus our choices. You know, the first mention of sin back in Genesis 4 gives us all the persuasion that we need. It says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We just learned that sin first catches our attention. It will show us what we want, and it's right at the door. It will appear as happiness, pleasure, and satisfaction. It blinds us, and if we invite it in, it binds us. And the next thing after its false promises is it'll make you miserable. and soon after it will kill you. Sin will remain persistent and will follow you unless you do something about it. We need to change on how we go about our walk with God. There's a saying that goes, can you practice what you preach? So here are some things that I have done in my life that have strengthened my relationship with God the most, and that was cutting out the people who were hindering my growth. I personally have cut all ties with the people from high school. I've lost friends, Christian friends, including my best friend. I even gave up someone who wants the world to me. I gave up my temporary happiness for joy with the Lord. Joy is a happiness that never ends and is only attainable if you put in some sacrifice. And why would I do something like that? Those people were special, right? I had so many good memories, and they weren't terrible people. And sure, they make mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. But in Isaiah 29:13, it says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but I have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. They didn't love God, and that's something worth a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain. How much do we love God? I think we hold the word love with the same weight as we hold the word thank you. I know a few people that didn't have the courage to apologize, so they would say I love you instead. We need to start considering our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is technically like every other relationship. We have all had a crush or have fallen in love. You'll meet that guy or that girl and you'll think, wow, they are so amazing. I would do anything for them. What can I change about myself to get their approval? Do we feel like this about God? Start taking your relationship seriously with him. Do you tell him good morning or how thankful you are for him and the things that he does? Do you love him and tell him how beautiful he is? I repeat that this is an actual relationship. A relationship takes work, labor, sacrifice, and a ton of long-suffering. We claim we love God and we claim to trust God. Is he able to trust us back? A relationship is meant to rely on one another. Trust is a glue of a relationship, and that's all there is to it. I said earlier on how he's given each of us a measure of faith. Faith is belief and faith is trust. We all know we can't grow two relationships at once. It's equivalent to cheating on God. So no wonder why he doesn't trust us. If we're still trying to dabble in the world, it's God's enemy. And I'm not saying that getting uncomfortable with God will make you alone. But what I am saying is when the Lord takes people or things out of your life, he's going to replace it with something, and not just something, something better. And these don't have to be huge, immense changes. It can even be small decisions to better yourself. Whenever I got my job, I saw it as a clean slate. I've had so many amazing opportunities to talk about the Lord. When I'm on break and getting something to eat, I'll sit with other people and invite them to pray with me. Some agree and some don't. I remember this one time I was reading my Bible on my phone, and my coworker asked me what I was reading. I told her I was reading my Bible, and she paused and gave me kind of like an eyebrow raise, and then she kind of ran out of the room. But it wasn't too bad. It's kind of equivalent to AJ's story about the good book. But the point is, what I do shocks people because it breaks away from your average day. We need to realize that our age gives us the upper hand to reach people. Because of our age, we make people think. They'll be wondering, it's crazy how someone so young is dedicated to the Lord. I wonder why that is. We inspire people to want to be better and turn around their life because we turned our life around before we made mistakes. We learn from other people's testimonies that it's not worth it. In James chapter 4:14, it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Your time in high school is temporary. Your job is temporary, and so are we. We are expendable. The least we can do is give something back to God, something people won't forget. All these stories in the Bible, they get re-mentioned because they made an impact. If someone were to describe you, what would they say? It's time to get serious and put on your big boy pants and get to work. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're old enough to understand salvation, so don't make excuses. In Proverbs 27:1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We aren't even promised tomorrow. And I hate to keep bringing this up and reminding everyone, but we do not deserve luxury, and we do not deserve a comfortable life. This is a time to insulate ourselves for a blow that is about to happen. So a few small things that you can do to change is start your day by acknowledging God. Thank him. Appreciate him and his son's sacrifice. That's earning silver right off the bat. Next is read your Bible. Try to do that every morning. It can even just be a verse. We have phones. Everything's right at our fingertips. And throughout the day, try to have God on the forefront of your mind and start considering him. Make him important. And soon you won't at all be wavered by the world. I'm actually composing a hymn that we all know very well. called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's inspired by the verse Isaiah 45:22. It says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And for the song, it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Keep the contrast and keep growing your relationship with God, and keep changing for the better. There is nothing, nothing here to satisfy us other than God, so keep persevering. Before I close out, I also want to remind everyone that this would technically be the week of camp. And one of the things I think of most when I think of camp is whenever we all have that come to Jesus moment. There's a moment whenever, like before things get crazy with school, sports, college, that we all just take a moment to kind of clear our mind and just set a goal, want to change, and then we'll just pray about it. Just take a moment to do it. So I'm sure that you guys all know what you need to do, and that's all I have for you.
Amen.
All right, just stand up 292 real quick. 292, surely goodness and mercy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sierra. She had about 50 outlines in that thing. That was great. You guys were writing down. You got some material there. 292, surely goodness and mercy. Here we go. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness
and mercy
shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through
the dark lonesome
valley, my Savior will walk with me there. He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Surely
goodness
and mercy shall follow me
all the days
of my life.
All right, go ahead and sit down, guys. Our next guy coming up here. The cool thing about him, I got to say this, and hopefully it doesn't embarrass him, but there's nothing to be embarrassed about because this is life, man. But this guy is not AJ. You know, he's not Matty Kennicott. He's not the guy that you would think, oh, man, that's the best youth group example I've ever seen. I'll tell you this about him, though. Every time I've had to set him down, tell it to him like it was, put my foot in his butt, you know, have a hard talk with him or something like that, I swear, okay, this kid's way too timid. He's way too shy. He's going to run off. There's no way he's got the guts to come back for more. And yet this boy kept showing up. He kept coming back. And even right now, he's still doing what he needs to be doing. He's trying to go through discipleship and hang out with the right guys. You know, his testimony is awesome when he first told me where he was coming from to where he's at today. And I got to say, man, this boy's got more courage than I would. You know, I'm one of those guys, like, I try to stay as clean as I can because I'm scared to fall and have that dirt on me. This kid, he's had the dirt on him and been like, you know what, where else am I going to go? I found what I need. I'm around the people I need to be around. So go ahead. You guys take me through whatever you got to take me through. But I'm going to be here. I'm going to stick it out. So Josh Spilker, I love you for that, man. You've hung in there. I care about you, dude. We know we've been through some tough times together and stuff like that. But look at you. You're here today, and you volunteered to speak to everyone. You know, so that takes guts. He's not an outspoken person. He's not the dude that's always, you know, the main spokesman in the room and stuff like that. Very quiet, very shy. Usually just sits back kind of smiling at everyone. You're like, wondering, is he happy with me or is he about to kill me type of deal? So I love this dude. You know, he's a good dude. So Josh, come on up here, man. Share with us what you got.
Okay. First of all, Sam, can you pray us in?
Yep. Lord, I just want to start off with a thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and the price that he paid for us. Thank you for this church and the opportunity to gather together and to see folks grow and just have a relationship with you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given all of us just to be a part of Spoker's life, and just the grit that you put in him to help him get where he's at today.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know me, my name is Josh. So basically, I'm just gonna tell you a little bit about my life and where I used to be at and how I got where I am at currently. To start, I grew up in what I thought was a Christian household, but it wasn't. We went to church every Sunday for around 6 to 7 years. But at the time, all I knew was that Jesus died on the cross. I didn't know where he died. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. I didn't know that he died on the cross for our salvation. Once my grandma passed away, we stopped going to church for a while. Let's see. A few years down the road, we started going to Abundant Life. Trust me, don't go there. And that's when things started going downhill for me. I was hanging around the wrong group of friends and started doing the wrong things. At the time, the Brad Keens invited my mom to play softball and volleyball and invited me to attend youth group functions. I was not real sure what to think of the church at first, but I fell in love with it after a short while and wanted to make it a routine to come every Thursday and Sunday. So being a part of the church and being around others that believe in God has helped me realize that I don't need to be a part of the world anymore to have joy in my life. So Romans 15:13 says, maybe, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And also, I believe it has brought our family closer together. So on Tuesday, July 21st of 2020, the second day of camp, Bob was talking about building a wall and putting on your whole armor of God for Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Maybe. So it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, and ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of his world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, and ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your joints girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Where was I? So, and that's when it hit me. You need the whole armor of God to withstand the evil day. So without salvation, you're not going to get through the evil day. And that's when I realized that I was ready to trust in the Lord and get saved. After I got saved, I developed a relationship with the Lord and been growing every day. And that brings me to where I am at today. That's all I have.
Amen.
All right, up again, guys. Turn to 431. I love to tell the story. 431. All right, verse 1. Here we go.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all the golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. And love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing a new song.
Guess what it will be?
Be that old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Good singing, guys. All right, sit on down again. Our next person to come up has been with us probably the longest out of most, one of the forefathers, but it's a girl, so I guess the foremother of the children's ministry here, old Amanda Brackeen. So, Amanda, you come on up here. You give us what's on your heart. I'm going to miss you, bud. It's always been great having you there. All the fun conversations we've had and things we've been through. So, sure, that's what the Lord's got giving you. Love you, bud.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so tonight I want to talk about a topic that has come up a lot recently. And last week at the NE Youth Group, Zach talked about allowing yourself to get along with God. The first time I heard about this whole getting alone with God thing was at church camp right before high school, and I didn't really understand the concept until the end of my high school years when I personally experienced it. Before we get into all that, I want to talk to you guys about my 4 years of high school so I can better explain how I ended up alone with God, and to show you guys how that kind of played out in my life. So, you know, going into freshman year, I have this best friend that I've done everything with for, like, the past 7 years, and we were inseparable. All summer long, we planned and prepared, and I mean prepared for high school. So then when we get there, we could be, like, the top dogs, you know, ruling the school, as everybody thinks that that's how it's going to be when they get there. I thought that I was ready to go. You know, I'd seen every Hannah Montana episode, every High School Musical, and then, you know, you get there, and it's not like that at all. But anyways, high school was going great until this best friend I had started doing things that I didn't want to be a part of. This was the first time in my life that I had to stand up for what I believed and take a stand on this book. This was also the first time in a long time that I felt alone. This book has an answer for everything, and Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." So this verse tells me that Christ is my best friend and that I'm never truly alone. So then heading into sophomore year, I was convinced that I'd be a three-sport athlete. I knew exactly who I was going to be and what I wanted people to see me as, but I'd say things to myself like, "Oh, don't worry, God, when I'm playing these sports and being who I want to be, I'll make sure to tell someone about you. I'll make sure to keep my testimony when it's convenient for me, and I'll make sure to do something for you." Well, I made it through volleyball season and then rolled around swim season, and I injured my right arm at 4 different places, so that season ended in like 3 weeks. So then I was like, it's okay, you know, I'll do track and just be a two-sport athlete. Well, in the first 2 weeks of track, I blew out my knee, and the coach told me not to come back until I got it fixed. Well, it wasn't fixable, so that ended pretty fast. Like I said, there's an answer for everything in the Bible. So if we flip to 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." So this verse tells me that the athlete that I wanted to be and the things that I wanted to do profit me little. But if I really wanted to do something, I needed this book, that I needed to do it God's way. This verse goes perfect with the fact that I was actually doing bodily exercise, but this verse really goes for anything that doesn't directly benefit God in our lives. The person that I wanted to be and this whole big athlete thing I had going in my head isn't going to mean anything to anyone 2 weeks after my season's ended. But imagine what could have came out of that if I played those sports and viewed it as a mission field for God, and if I put him first. Junior year, no surprise, I had another idea in my head of who I'm going to be. Church camp had just ended, and I was on fire like we all were. And I decided this year I'm going to do something for Christ. But I just got my driver's license, and I started teaching at Cerner Kids. And, you know, my life was real exciting, and things were going great, but my relationship with the Lord wasn't. I was out of balance with God. I'd come to church, and I'd live off other people's spirituality. But once again, like I said, the Bible has the answer for everything. And so if we go to Proverbs 11:1, it says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just way is his delight." This verse tells me that the patterns I was creating in my life were not pleasing to the Lord. So second semester of junior year, I totaled my car, and it felt like my world had ended. All of my independence and everything I was making myself to be that year now relied on whether mommy and daddy can give me a ride. Shortly after that, COVID happened, and the world really ended. As a lot of people feel like. And what do you do when everything stops? You know, now I was really alone. We had our small church groups and things, but I could no longer live off other people. This is when God got me alone with my own thoughts, and I started getting convicted about the way I was living my life for God, or lack thereof. And after a couple years of being in control of my own life, I decided it wasn't profiting anyone, not myself, and especially not God. After I spent that time alone with God and got some things figured out, I want to share with you guys some things that I do now every day to prevent myself from going back to the life I was living. The first thing I do is read my Bible. That's pretty simple, but we make it hard for ourselves. But you know, if we take that time alone with God and we get to know him, it's easier because we start to fall in love with it and it becomes more real to us. The next thing that I do is I remember. I remember how life was when I lived it to my own account, and it wasn't joyful. It might have been fun here and there, but it didn't bring me or Christ any joy. And the last thing that I do is I lay in bed, and that's an easy one. We all lay in bed. But when I lay in bed and I put my phone down, I start to imagine the different promises from God. I imagine what it's going to be like to meet him or to hear his voice or to see the scars on his hands from hanging on the cross when he died for me. And when you lie alone and you think about all the great things that he's done for us, it makes it real easy to start wanting to see his plan for you and for our lives. In closing, I shared a small part of my high school experience with you guys that changed my perspective on my relationship with the Lord, and I encourage you guys as this next school year begins or this new chapter begins to get alone with God and to be who He wants you to be, not who we want to be.
Amen.
All right, stand up one last time, number 44. And can it be that I should gain? 44. All right, number 44, here we go. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who calls Him Thane, for me who Him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, just died for me? Amazing love, how can Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace, emptied Himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Now no condemnation, now I am my Lord's. Amen. And He is mine, alive in Him, my living. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst
amazing love, here we go.
Amazing love, how can
guys, our final speaker tonight, comes by way of Nebraska, and I could have swore you were a senior last year, so it's good to have you this year. But no, I'll tell you what, man, anybody that knows how Addie started out, I would not expect her to be where she is today. She came to one of our youth camps some years ago with a friend who was very, very much an outspoken person, bright personality. This girl was one to be remembered at camp. And Addie was kind of like her shadow. You know, almost like when we were looking at it, it was almost like Addie was like her bad girl or something. Like everywhere this chick would go, Addie would be behind her, kind of like, all right, come here, come on, do this and that. Not that she was a bad girl or nothing like that. Okay. The whole idea was, out of going from following, and just, you know, being like someone's shadow, this girl has made so many decisions where she had to become a leader in her own right to where it manifests as today. She graduated high school, and now she's chosen to move down here to get close to the church and find what the Lord has for her. So I never saw that coming, but that just shows you how much spiritual insight I have. And that's why we thank God that He's in control of all these things. And he touches people's hearts and gets them where He wants them. So, Addie, it's so awesome to have you down here with us now. Just moved into town today?
Yesterday.
So it's official. She's here now. And what a great way to start your new chapter in life. So, Addie, come give us what the Lord's given you.
Okay. I'm Addie. I think I know everybody here. But
So I'm not going to take you to any verses or anything, but I just kind of want to talk about, like, where I've, like, kind of like my testimony, and then just, like, things that the Lord has, like, shown me and taught me through living in Lincoln. And just, like, yeah. So the first time I ever came to anything, like Zach was just talking about, it was 2016. And I came with Sarah Patrick, technically, but I had never met Sarah until, like, the day we left for camp. And I just knew my friend who knew Sarah. So it was, like, that friend that he was talking about. Or Zach's there now. But, yeah, so my parents just, like, let me show up to this random camp that, like, none of us had ever heard of. We just kind of didn't know anybody. We just came. And so that was the first time I had ever been to anything Old Paths related or really, like, heard anything about, like, what the Lord did on the cross, like, applied to us. And I might have gotten saved that year at camp. I know I said I did, but I didn't talk to anyone. I was just like, yeah, I got saved. And, like, everyone was like, oh, did you? Like, and then, like, people would talk to us and ask us, like, so, like, what did you do to get saved? And we're like, oh, like, we prayed. But, like, I don't think we ever did. I don't know. I think I just, like, wanted to take care of it on my own. Like, I didn't really want to have to, like, have to turn to anybody else to help me. I wanted to, like, be independent and be like, oh, like, I can just, like, get saved on my own and I'll be fine. But I don't think anything ever, maybe I did get saved at that point, but, like, there was no change in my life after that or anything. But right after that camp, Delta started. I'm sure most of you have heard of Delta, but it's, like, a youth group in Lincoln that we've had going since 2016, right after that camp. And Sarah and Caleb started leading it, and now it's Robin, Carolyn Miller. So, like, the Miller kids are here. They know what I'm talking about, and so does everyone else probably. But so we had that youth group, and I started coming to that, and I just kept showing up, like, with that friend, too. And eventually she kind of stopped coming. But, like, I might have gotten saved at some point throughout that whole year after hearing everything that I did, but I don't know for sure. But it was at camp 2017 that I for sure did get saved, if I wasn't already, when, like, I was actually walked through verses on, like, and, like, I was actually led to the Lord. So if I wasn't saved already, I for sure got saved in 2017 at camp, so 4 years ago as of, like, this week. And so ever since then, I've been involved in, like, everything in Lincoln that I could be, like, ever since, and now I'm actually here. So we watch, like, up in Lincoln, we have, like, a Tuesday night Bible study, and we have, like, the live streams on Thursdays and Sundays. So we have, like, some degree of, like, a church going on there, but it's not obviously to the extent that of everything that's going on here. It's, like, it's a satellite of it, so it's kind of like a sample size. But that's kind of, like, how I got to this point, just for anybody who, like, didn't know, or I don't know, I just wanted to, like, start with that. So at home, I've lived with my, like, divorced parents. So I have two houses, and then I have, like, one older sister, and pretty much all of my family, like, extended and everybody else, is not saved, or at least not in fellowship with the Lord. So really, like, just being, like, all the people closest to me at the time, at least, were, like, obviously not walking with the Lord and weren't gonna encourage me to walk with the Lord or, like, to walk the right way. So, like, pretty much immediately I kind of had to, like, purpose in my heart to, like, either walk with the Lord or, like, not to, because, like, there was nobody to, like, necessarily guide me in the right direction. And so that's just, like, taught me a lot, I guess, because it really has just been, like, me and the Lord. Like, I was kind of alone with the Lord immediately as I got back to Lincoln, and it was really tricky, and it's, like, really hard to live that way, like, not having, I mean, like, I had the Millers, and the Lord definitely gave me people that did, like, encourage me, but it was really hard to, like, be the person to be witnessing to my family at home versus, like, having your home as, like, your home instead of, like, going to the Millers to get encouraged and coming home and having that be my mission field is really hard. But anyway, I don't want the emphasis here to be, like, on me and, like, all the things that I've done these last few years, but, like, what the Lord has done in my life and what he's shown me over all this time in Lincoln. So I just have, like, four, like, lessons learned in Lincoln that I just wanted to share with you guys. Just not, it doesn't have to do a thing in Lincoln, but just as far as, like, living at home with people who weren't necessarily encouraging me in those things and, like, or weren't walking, like, with me. And, yeah, so I'll just get started with that. And it doesn't, like, you don't have to be in Lincoln to, like, learn these lessons, but these are just things that the Lord has shown me through living in Lincoln. So that first one is going to be that it's not about numbers. So I think everybody's kind of learned that this last year was just, like, the fluctuation in numbers with COVID, things happening as far as, like, being at church and after camp and everything. But, like, some nights we had a full basement at the Millers for Delta, and then sometimes it was just, like, me and the Millers in their living room for, like, Thursday night live streams. Like, it all kind of varied, like, but regardless, it wasn't really about, like, how many people were there or anything like that. It was just about, like, the Word of God being taught, and that's the whole point of all of it, regardless of how many people want to hear it. So that was kind of the first thing that I learned in Lincoln.
And then the next thing is, if you're willing, the Lord is able. And I guess this was kind of like the earliest lesson I ever learned, and it's actually because Sarah gave me a bookmark at my first year of camp, and it said, if you're willing, the Lord is, if you are willing, the Lord is able. It's really beat up now, but I still have it. but ultimately, like, being in Lincoln, we can't, like, I mean, I guess we could come to every Thursday and every Sunday, but we would put a lot of miles on our cars, and it just doesn't always work with our lives being in Lincoln. We couldn't, it just didn't really work with living in Lincoln. so we weren't able to be physically at, like, church and Bible study, but, like, we were willing to serve the Lord and to get whatever he had for us out of this church. And because of that, like, we had, like, live streams and we had Delta, and, like, because we were willing to, like, serve the Lord and whatever he wanted us to do, he was able to, like, continue Delta and continue Bible study and, like, let it, like, I got, like, discipled over Skype and, like, things like that, like, because we had a willingness, or have a willingness, not all past, it's just me that's not there anymore, but because we were willing, like, the Lord was able to do so much up there, and, like, in our lives, just because we were willing to learn the Bible and willing to, like, walk with him, no matter the situation or the circumstances. So all it really takes is a willingness. And as far as you guys, like, most of you live here, or at least live, like, somewhere in the area, I'm sure, but, like, all it takes is a willingness. So, like, I don't know everybody's situations. Like, I know it's not, just because you're in Kansas City doesn't make it easy or anything, but, like, no matter your situation, if you're just willing to, like, make whatever change you need to make, or, like, just willing to do whatever the Lord has, like, he's able to do that, or able to do what he has for you. The third thing I learned from Lincoln is really how to have a personal walk with the Lord. And it's kind of just what Amanda talked about with, like, being alone with God, because I wasn't completely secluded or anything. Like, I have had, like, our little satellite church up there. And I got to come down here plenty, but, ultimately, like, at home, like, if I wasn't there to stand for the word of God, like, there was nobody there, like, to redirect me or to, like, re-guide me, to it. And there was nobody to, like, witness to them if I wasn't going to in my house. And I love my family, so I don't want to sound like I'm, like, attacking them or anything. But ultimately, like, it was just me and the Lord walking most of the time, because, I mean, Thursday nights and Sunday mornings are only, like, a few hours of the week. So it really just taught me to, like it really was just me and the Lord. So, like, I had a really purpose in my heart, like Daniel did, just because, like, if I just didn't have, like, those influences necessarily right away. And, like, I don't really know, again, like I said, like, I don't know all of your situations, but I mean, like, you don't have to be in an unsafe family, like, to be able to walk with the Lord like that. So, but obviously the Lord will do things to get you alone, but that was just kind of, I don't know, a bit, like, one thing, big thing that I learned, is that, like, it really is just about, like, you and the Lord. And I know it's really easy for me, especially, to get caught up in, like, social events and, like, just enjoying, like, being around people and all of that, but ultimately, like, being in Lincoln, I mean, I didn't have those social events like we do here to get caught up in necessarily. And so I'm really thankful for that, because it really forced me to, like, be alone with the Lord, if that makes sense. and then the last point here is that this church is just really something special. I knew that after, like, an hour at Angeles, like, the night before Camp 2016. But, like, up in Lincoln, like, I was a gymnast and I coached gymnastics at that gym later on. So I've been part of that gym for a long time. And I danced competitively, and I was, like, going to teach at that studio. And, like, my whole family's there, and, like, the cutest niece ever, if you've seen Parker before. I have pictures if you want to see her, but and she's also here right now. But, like, there's just a lot in Lincoln, and, like, my whole life's been there. So, and now I'm here, obviously, but, like, I'm not trying to say that to emphasize, like, the sacrifice I've made or anything necessarily, but just that this church is, like, worth that, like, relocating my whole life from all these things that I've gotten, like, that I've been doing for the last 18 years. But just, like, the Bible that this church stands for and the ministries that the Lord's working through and all of that is such a special and, like, rare thing. And so I guess I just want to encourage all of you to, like, really take advantage of it, because, I mean, not just because there are a lot of people wishing they could be at everything that you get to be at, but also just because, like, the Lord's really doing something here, and, like, I don't know, like, it's not even just, like, youth group and things like that, but also, like, if your parents are walking with the Lord, like, you can learn from their lives, like, being in their house and things like that. So I guess kind of just, like, my final little, like, point, it's not really, like, a lesson learned, just, like, I would just encourage all of you to, like, take advantage of everything the Lord has for you, whether that be in your house or here at church or all of that, just because it is so worth it, and, like, ultimately that's what's, like, profitable. So that is what I have. Amen.
Hey, well, I mean, you guys heard an earful tonight, you know, starting out with Sierra to Josh to Amanda and to Addie. So all you kids that are coming up, you know, that's going to be you in a couple of years. And I hope that you guys took some of those things to heart. And like Sierra started off saying, you know, all this stuff is not about showing how spiritual we are, you know, or trying to glorify even like the crazy stuff that some of these guys went through in the world, stuff like that. It's all about putting out this information so that you can have it earlier than they had it, and then to avoid those same pitfalls and to hopefully boost yourself ahead in the game, stuff like that. So, seniors, thank you guys so much. That was excellent. I got edified from that, so I really appreciate that. Yeah, Jocelyn, we'll clap for more time. Great. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to move on to all of our little activities. Danny and Jamie, help me out with anything that I miss here. But from my understanding, we've got some refreshment outside. Not yet? Okay, so soon we'll have some refreshment outside. Feel free to come over here, indulge in any more of the vittles that we got on the tables. Those of you that want to start detoxing, the Lord's provided us a beautiful sauna outside. You can go out there and get your sweat on with that. So we're pretty much just, and I think the game rooms, Danny, are those open? Okay, Father Timothy is going to go open up the game rooms down here, and then we can be dismissed. So guys, great job tonight. We'll move on to our next step here. Let's pray it out though, real quick. Macy, why don't you pray us out? I heard that lovely voice over here.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done today, Lord, and thank you for getting us all here tonight, Lord. And please just keep us safe through the rest of the night, Lord. And thank you for all the devotions that the seniors prepared for us, Lord. And please help for just for us to hear them, but also like apply them to our lives. And just thank you for letting them be in this youth group, Lord, and please help them to do good in the Timothy room, and please help for the kids coming up from Timothy into the youth group, just for them to have a great time, and dear God, amen.
Amen. All right, guys, you're dismissed. Oh.
Pulling in the parking
lot. Oh,
right,
boy.
Hey, Zach.
What's up? Paul? Paul? What? Oh, Father Timothy. You could. You have to, like, put cliff notes on that thing.